You're listening to Central Time. At one point or another, we've all dealt with a difficult person in our lives. You know the person, the one at work who routinely shoots down your ideas, points out your flaws, or resorts to all kinds of tactics to get his or her way. And it doesn't have to be a coworker. It could be a family, a friend. It might even be us. You may have heard that old saying, it takes one to know one, and that's where our next guest comes in. Thanks to something that happened in her life, Sarah Elliston realized she was a difficult person, and it was holding her back. She decided she wanted to change, and now she teaches others how to deal with difficult people. She's written a book full of strategies you can turn to when it comes time to have that important conversation with a difficult person in your life. Sarah Elliston joins us now. She's a teacher, a trainer, and a member of the faculty of the William Glasser Institute. She's the author of the book, Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us. Sarah, thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm really happy to be here. I'm a congratulations on your 100 years. I'm a sustaining member of our National Public Radio station.
That's
WDXU,
fantastic. Thank you so
Cincinnati.
Much.
Mm-hmm.
That's great to hear. Well, now, most people, I think, out there will not describe themselves as a difficult person. You had an incident that made you realize that maybe you were. What happened?
Oh, I was really lucky. I had a boss that I really, really liked. I respected her and wanted to have a good relationship with her. So when she told me I was doing something that was driving everyone crazy, I didn't know what she was talking about, but I was willing to listen. And so the funniest part was she said, well, next time you do it, I'll tell you. And so she pointed it out to me at the time, and I still didn't know what she was talking about. She had to explain. I was creating basically a little mini hurricane in the office. I was picking things up and dropping them and stomping around and muttering under my breath. I was trying to find something that I had lost and creating quite a mess. And she had to say, this is what you're doing. Do you see that you're doing it? And I had no awareness of what I was doing or that it had any impact on anybody else. So in the sense that she did it out of kindness, I was very lucky. But I was 50 years old, so I did kind of think, whoa, my goodness, have I been doing this all my life? Has everybody found me difficult? And it was quite an awakening.
Now, I'll want to, in a minute, dig into that boss's specific advice, because how she did it made a big difference. Let's set
it
that
really
aside
did.
For a moment, though. Mm-hmm. What does it mean, in general, to be a difficult person?
You know, everyone asks me for that. I finally decided to give you a definition. I think it's anybody that we are really annoyed with whom we have repeated contact. As you said, work, family, friendships, relationships at school or in the neighborhood or where we worship, someone that's really driving us crazy, that we think we've done all of the work we can to let go of our negativity around them, and they're still driving us crazy.
And it might be somebody we like and appreciate in many ways, except mm-hmm. that little bit of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And
there's something that they do that, and it's not just, it's annoying. It has a direct impact on not only us, the family, the clients, the students, the rest of the team, depending on the environment. There has something that you can point to and say, look, this is what, do you know you're doing this? And do you realize it has this impact?
And from your own perspective, and now you've worked with a lot of people on this, the difficult mm-hmm. person doesn't usually know they're difficult, it sounds like.
That's exactly true. I honestly believe that. They're not aware that they're difficult. They may be aware that something is off in a particular relationship. It may feel like that people don't like them, that this whoever they're having difficulty with is just mean. So they may have built up some feelings around that, but they're not aware of what they're doing. Most of us aren't aware of what we do. We know what we think. We know what we feel. We don't pay a lot of attention to physical actions, and we're not really careful about how we speak, is my impression.
I want to get back to that advice from the boss that kind mm-hmm. of turned things around for you. She did it in a particular way, it sounds like. She pointed out the exact behavior that was bothering people, and then she pointed out how it affected people.
Mm-hmm,
can you talk
exactly.
through that a little?
Well, as I said, she was actually giving me some praise and said, by the way, you know, you have this really annoying habit, and I didn't know. And instead of trying to describe it at that point, she said, never mind, I'll just point it out the next time you do it. And a couple of weeks later, I was doing it, and she invited me to come in and sit down and said, "Do you realize what you're doing? You're you know how they have those little flippers in offices that are cubicles, those little things that flip up over the shelves? You're lifting those up. You're dropping them. You're moving your chair around. You're stomping in and out of the office. You're muttering under your breath. You're getting louder and louder." And we were in a fairly small environment, and I could see that once she pointed out what I was doing, I thought, she's right, I'm absolutely, I am doing those things. Oh, my goodness. And so I was able to say, I beg your pardon, I won't do it anymore. And I sat down, and I literally sat down and thought about it.
And then part two was kind of the impact, the negative environment it created for everybody there.
Yeah, she talked about creating negative energy, and this was, you know, 20 years ago, and I didn't know anything about negative energy. I'd never heard about energy before, but now I understand what she means. And also that people couldn't, we all did a lot of our work on the phone, or we were, you know, developing projects, writing projects on the computer, and we couldn't think. Other people couldn't think. And so that, and I could clearly see that, because it had happened to me when other people had had conversations outside my office. And so I knew what it was like to be distracted by other people's, you know, loud voices or their behavior. And I had no clue. I don't know if all difficult people feel this way, but it didn't occur to me that anybody noticed me at all.
Talking to Sarah Elliston, her new book is Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us. And then, Sarah, a lot of your book is applying this kind of thinking to help people deal with a difficult person. And some of us how not to. So, you know, broad things like, well, you're just being a jerk all the time, or you're being a baby, or, you know, non-specific reactions like that seem to be singularly unhelpful.
Totally. Absolutely. That's the first thing we have to do. And in the workshops and coaching that I do, it's the first thing I ask. It's like, exactly what does the person say? Exactly what actions are they taking? And often it's like, I just want him to be more sensitive. What did he say? Well, he said this. I said, all right, and that wasn't sensitive. Well, yeah, but I want him to be more, you know. It's just if you can get really specific about the words that are being said and the actions that are being done, it can step you back a little bit from the emotions. When we get around difficult people, honestly, I think we build up rather than speak to them because we aren't sure how. We build up our resentment, and then, as you know, resentment is just like taking poison and hoping the other person will die. It's just a complete waste of time. So the rest of the book is really a tool, a reference guide of to help the reader explore themselves and their own reactions and how they want to converse with a difficult person so that when they actually have the conversation, they have clarified a lot of their own resentments and their own whatever it is that annoys them about what the difficult person is doing.
You mentioned you mentioned the emotional response, and I wanted to get into that. And you talk about trying to separate out from that a little bit, to dial that down, to not let this whole, I guess, halo of emotions and anger get into it, and really try, as you said, to drill down and figure out what are the specific things, how does it make me feel, what could resolve this?
Right. There's a quote says, take no offense, that which offends you only weakens you. And we are so quick to be offended and outraged, and we work pretty, I think it feels like in our culture right now, it's either okay or it's awful, and there's no in-between. So to step back and actually look at the words and look at the actions and what the impact is on whatever group you're in, or just you, if it's just you, is the first step. And then, of course, to explore your own emotional reactions. There's a whole series of exercises to do in the book. They're paper and pencil kinds of things, and you don't do them really quickly. I mean, you have to, they're thoughtful exercises to explore your own reactions so that you can see yourself as a support person for the difficult person. If there's one thing that I really hope people will remember is that the habits of supporting and trusting, respecting, encouraging, listening, accepting, that those kinds of habits, negotiating differences, those are the ones that will build relationships. And if the difficult person is someone you have to be with a lot, you really want to be able to build a relationship with them.
But you talked about, you know, controlling our own outrage. If we're assuming we're the non-difficult person, our outrage at the difficult person. Now let's flip it around. We're trying to give them feedback in a constructive way and not trigger their defensiveness and their outrage.
You may.
How do we do that? Right. So we can't avoid that completely, huh?
Probably not. And part of the exercises in the book is practicing listening. My favorite one is to get with a buddy that knows you. They don't need to know the other person, but what you do is you make a long list of all the ways that they'll react, and it will be emotional, it will be defensive probably, and it will be, denial, and you list all the things that they might say down the side of one page, and on the other side of that page, you list the kinds of things that you could say that would be supportive or encouraging. And the active listening process of, gosh, it sounds like you're feeling whatever the feeling is usually the first step. But you make those two lists, and then you have your buddy read off all the ones in an outraged tone that you expect your difficult person to have, and then you respond and to have a little mini dialogue on each one of those responses, because you want to be prepared for them. Of course they're going to be offended. I was offended probably a number of times in my life, but more offended, like, well, who do you think you are trying to tell me what to do? And that was more of my response when people were trying to, quote, correct me or give me what they called constructive criticism. And I don't find criticism in any form constructive. I think feedback about, do you know you're doing this? That's really the question. Do you know you're doing this? Do you know it has this impact? And is that what you want? Those three questions are kind of the goal of the conversation.
We'll leave it there, Sarah. Thank you so much for spending
You're
this
welcome.
Time with us. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. I had a great time.
That's Sarah Alliston. She's a teacher, trainer, and member of the faculty of the William Glasser Institute. We've been talking about her book. It's called Lessons from a Difficult Person, How to Deal with People Like Us.